Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly as we look back on La Liga's first ever retro weekend, which we will mark in our own way by having two middle-aged white blokes chatting about football. How will we manage without a social media influencer who doesn't own a TV and has never been to a football match? It was a beautiful thing this weekend. Old kits, walkout music, the big flashing R for replay on the TV graphics, and somehow they even managed to get Yago Aspas, Kike Garcia and Christian Stuani to play in the games. The co-commentators were Graham Hunter and Terry Gibson, just like the old days, and they genuinely knew stuff about Spanish football that hadn't just spent 5 minutes skimming through football. At Real Sociedad, they installed a full 8-lane running track around the pitch and moved the spectators 50 yards away. The relegation-threatened teams left suitcases of cash lying around, and most amazingly of all, Sevilla won. Although Atletico Madrid's players were so young, they really did think that a kit from 2022 qualified as retro. A quick note for the kids and the nostalgists. Not everything was better in the old days. You tried commentating off a portable TV with a standard definition blurred line. Anyway, all of this dwelling on the old days is distracting us from the points that the Real Madrid have not won the title again. They've messed it up again. Seriously, fellas, grow up and win the league more. Barcelona thrashed Espanyol in the derby, but did they expend too much energy required for Tuesday's escape mission in the European Cup? Atleti shouldn't even be in it. Barca should be playing Paphos or Slavia Prague or someone actual champions. Yes, we will preview the quarterfinals and reflect on a decisive weekend at the top of La Liga and an extremely indecisive weekend at the bottom. Right, Terry, you were part of... Well, you weren't part of... you weren't part of the La Liga retro weekend, but I keep seeing people on social media posting pictures of Revista de La Liga.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this was... Oh, and I think, yeah, we actually worked on that. It's not... I don't feel that old. I didn't realise we were part of like retro yet, but yeah, we were.
I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
The referees' kits were spectacular.
Yes.
I didn't notice as much the change of football.
It was only... The ball wasn't... It was the same ball, wasn't it? They just painted it up, basically, differently. You know, they weren't using some old leather casey from back in the day, were they?
It was... Yeah, it was... No, I enjoyed it. I think some teams, some clubs embrace it more than others.
Yes.
Some have literally taken part. Some have, but you're looking at the shirts and it's a bit vague whether it's retro or not. So I'm hoping it continues next year. I loved the R graphic on the replay.
I did. It actually worked because, honestly, there are too many. I have this debate all the time with TV direct. There are too many replays. So you're missing stuff all the time. So just, and it's quite nice when they put it up, a big flashing R, and you know it's a replay.
Yeah. Exactly. I love that. I love the graphics as well. So, I was pleased to be involved. I like it and I want it to be next season. I just want the clubs to have more identifiable retro kits. So we look back and go, like VRL's was a good one. And you go, oh, Rick Elmay. That instantly brings back a player, a memory of a player. And some of the kits weren't that much different from the current kit that they're wearing, or it was a flimsy reason for the wearing the kit. It was worn for our 125th Espanyol anniversary. 2-3 years ago, and
Atleti one was an anniversary from 4 years ago. So, right, so it's a 4 year old kit you're wearing that they found lying around somewhere. I mean, I get it because Barca didn't take part, and I imagine Barca—they've probably got a fashion department, haven't they? Who were, oh no, we can't, we're not ready, we can't do this. So, you know, Real Madrid typically curmudgeonly about the whole thing. Yeah, doing that stupid idea.
If you look up to it in the tracksuits they wore when they came out, they looked kind of retro. And Adidas one, it that looks a nod, little nod in that glance in that direction. But it was, yeah, I think Villarreal's was one of the favourites. Alaves was a good one.
Alaves went half, I think. No, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone. I think Alaves were almost there. I think it was the best Spanish kit ever. I'm going to go on the record, the Alaves kit. 2001. It was they wore it for the UEFA Cup final, didn't they? The famous UEFA Cup final against Liverpool. I was there, and it was a brilliant kit. It was blue with yellow, wasn't it, that way around? And they'd written, I don't know how many socios they had, 10,000, 20,000, and all of their names were on the kit. So that's what gave it the look. And they were written tiny, printed tiny, but you could still read them close up on people's shirts. And I'm not sure, I haven't studied enough that they recreated that. Maybe there's probably some data issue with not with putting people's names on a shirt now. But so they almost went there. I thought that was a brilliant Alaves kit. I think people should recreate that more and write names on kits.
I think some of the law changes should be changed next year, just for one weekend only.
Oh, there was some, yeah.
Tackle from behind, that should be allowed.
Yeah, well, we still had the dodgy penalties, didn't we, of people, you know, oh, he touched him, has he? Okay, there he
I
goes.
think
Except in one
goalkeepers should
case,
be
but we'll
allowed
get to
to
that.
goalkeepers should be allowed to pick up back passes and bounce
Yeah.
the ball around the penalty area for as long as they want. Referees, when they book players, don't show a yellow card like back in the day when they just write in a notebook and we will have to assume someone's been booked.
That was a weird little phase. That didn't last long, that phase, did it? Where they, because they had yellow cards, and then they stopped having yellow cards, and then they brought them back because it was a stupid idea not to have yellow cards. But
Well,
yeah,
maybe
but you still got booked,
difficult
didn't you?
to referee literally writing it in his book and
Yeah.
no one knew. And
Yeah.
whether no one in the crowd knew whether you'd been booked or not, or whether the referee was just threatening to write your name in a little notepad.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it was interesting. And centre halves maybe should be allowed to kick the centre forward three times before they get booked. So all these retro things. And goalkeepers not allowed to wear gloves, that would be a winner, wouldn't it? That
Oh
would be
yes,
brilliant. That would be great, that would be.
yeah, a few more goals on a weekend. The football was all right, wasn't it? As I said in the intro, top is decisive, bottom very, very much not decisive, because everyone who needed a win got a win, basically, didn't they? And dragged everybody else back in to the extent where you're looking at it now, Espanyol are top half still, aren't they? But they're 6 points above the relegation. So
Teams have got just chance of Europe and relegation.
Could literally go down from 10th with 5 games to go. So, because they're only
Exactly.
6 points. And so, 2 or 3 weeks from now, could be in the relegation zone.
Espanyol's run. I mean, I can't imagine what it must be like to support a team that's gone 14 games without a win. Spurs, exactly that. No, Espanyol 38, as you said, the Espanyol Athletic Club and Girona are 38 points, which means they're 3 points off a possible European spot and relegation. So next weekend, I mean, Espanyol's run, I mean, they're pretty good in the game against Barcelona. Their run is dreadful. It is still a possibility with, Elche getting the win, for instance, and still not being out the bottom three because
Yeah.
Sevilla get the win and Mallorca get the win, and it means Valencia are dragged right back into trouble. Rayo are in trouble again now as well. So yeah, no, it's I'm looking at the league table. The top four is done. We need to obviously recognise now the 9 point gap between Barcelona and Real Madrid, which I didn't expect 2 weeks ago when Real Madrid are playing Mallorca and Girona. I didn't expect them to pick up 1 point. And for Barcelona to win last week at Atletico Madrid, we thought that was the defining game. And then Real Madrid joined to Girona this week on Friday evening. Barcelona getting the win, and suddenly that gap has opened up drastically from in the space of just over a week. We'll obviously talk about that. Villarreal, Atleti are not that motivated about finishing fourth. They're going to be top four. They are 11 points clear of Betis. So that's done. Top four done. Betis, Celta, Real Sociedad, Getafe. Champions League, fifth place, is up for grabs between them.
We don't know yet, do we, for that? No. We know the Premier League has got one of them, and the other one, I think, is still up for grabs, isn't it? But we'll see.
And then you're looking at the teams below that that have got a chance of the Europa League, the European Conference League, and two or three of those teams are in still in a spot of bother in terms of clarification on actually staying in the division. So there's so much to play for.
Yes.
Seven games to go. Nothing's done and dusted.
Except at the top.
So
let's have a look at the top. Where are we going to go? We'll save up Real Madrid. And because there's a lot to be said. Barca got a win against Espanyol. In the end, 4-1, it looks like a thrashing. And it's sort of, I suppose it is by the end, they were in the game, Espanyol, for a significant part of it. And I mean, Dimitrovic played his part, didn't he?
An eccentric game from a normally reliable goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It kind of Barcelona made hard work. They're racing to an early lead, and it's probably complacency then that sets in. And they're probably thinking about the game against Atletico Madrid. And, you know, while Atletico Madrid have the luxury of being able to rest players, Barcelona had to win this game. And then Ferran Torres scores in the 8th minute and then the 24th minute at half-time, I'm looking at them thinking that Espanyol haven't got two goals in them. And assuming that maybe they might score, but Barcelona are going to score again and again. Or is it going to be a question of Barcelona take the foot off the gas and allow Espanyol back into the game? Because 2-0, if Espanyol get the next goal, they might get some belief. That's exactly what happened. And when Polozano scores a really good goal to make it 2-1, it became edgy again. It was edgy in the camp now in the last game when they just managed to scrape past, which I think was it, Rai Vallecano recently. And there's been one or two games at the camp now where they've won, but it's been hard work. It's been a fun atmosphere to start with, and then all of a sudden it gets really serious. And this got really serious in the second half when Espanyol had chances to equalise. And then, of course, Barcelona, they a couple of really late goals, Lamine Yamal in the 86th minute, and then Rashford finishing it off, and of course, from Frenkie de Jong. It kind of was a 4-1.
Mm.
But for 25 minutes in the second half, it was under threat. Espanyol, despite not winning for, it seems like forever now, they really did cause a threat. So it was an edgy game for Barcelona, but they've come through unscathed. They've extended the lead. And as I say, I didn't expect it. They probably didn't expect it. Hansi Flick probably didn't expect Real Madrid to pick up 1 point from the two games that they've had recently. And suddenly it almost looks like it's done and dusted for Barcelona now. We've worked it out. I mean, Real Madrid can get to 91 points. So it means that Barcelona need 13 points. There is a Clásico in there, depending on that scoreline on the head-to-head. Maximum points Barcelona need is 13 from 7 games. And I think we're all we're assuming, with all due respect, that they're going to get those points. It's an interesting one for Barcelona. They've got Celta at home, so that's what we probably think. Getafe away, tricky. Getafe are playing. They have got to travel to Osasuna as well, tricky game. Real Madrid in the Clásico. And then Alaves away, Betis at home, Valencia away. So, they're not easy games by any means. I mean, you're looking at relegation threatened teams in Alaves and Valencia away from home. Celta at home is a must win. And I think that's the one that they have to, you know, and from then on the game, they're not easy.
Mm.
So, there's still work to do, but I bet they can't believe their luck that Real Madrid have dropped those points in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. When you looked at the fixtures a couple of weeks ago, you're thinking, "Oh, this could be close by this stage of the season," and it's not. Just for the general listener, I know we discussed the Champions League quarterfinal the other day. Barca obviously have work to do. They are away from home. Obviously, they've got a chance. Barcelona have always got a chance, haven't they? As they've shown against Newcastle, they've scored 7 goals. If things go well, what are they? Give us a quick preview of that game, I suppose.
Well, I thought you were going to say what they got to do, and they just got to play the Barcelona.
Like they always do. That's why I hesitated. They're literally, just
That's
Just attack, and that's what they do.
yeah. That and so I it's they're going to leave the door open at the back. It'd be interesting to see Atleti's style of play, how cautious they're going to be, or will Simeone, and it's not as obvious as it once was. Will Simeone think, yeah, let them come at us. We'll still try and prove a threat on the break. If we get another goal, then it's probably done. So that might be the attitude from Atletico Madrid. I think they'll be compact as a team. Griezmann and Alvarez will drop in deep as well and help out, but then on the counter attack, Lookman, Griezmann, Alvarez, and Marcos Llorente probably in midfield, that they will pose a threat in scoring another goal. So it's a 2-0 deficit. It might be that Barcelona need more than just the two, because I think Atleti will score. Am I 100% convinced Atleti go through? No, 90%, 85%, something like that. You just don't know in football. I mean, Kubasa gets sent off in the first game. What if something similar happens to Atletico Madrid in 20 minutes gone, half an hour gone? What if Barcelona score in the first minute of the game? There's only a one, first 5 minutes of the game. Then there's only a one goal deficit for the rest of the match. Atletico are in a fantastic position.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
They shouldn't let it slip, but it's I can see it being a match of drama again. Extra time, who knows? Penalties. I'm really looking forward to watching the game.
Yes, right then. Let's get to Real Madrid, shall we? Let's get to the miserable bit. So we need to do a penalty chat, which obviously, it being Real Madrid, it being Spanish football. Somehow you're telling me is like as in Spain has sort of eclipsed everything. So should they have had a penalty?
I think so. Yes. Yeah, I think there was enough there. There's a couple of contacts with the head on Mbappe with the right arm, the left arm, and a tangled leg.
So 87 minutes. Tell us. So it's a 1-1 87 minutes. Tell us what happens.
Well, it's their 15th appeal for penalty, at least. So that's the problem. It's every time Mbappe and Vinicius run into the box at pace, they are desperately hoping there's contact. To the extent Vinicius had one in the second half where he gets to the byline, fantastic work. He can cut it back. He can slide it across the six-yard box. He could cut back on his right foot and shoot. He was so obsessed with the player behind touching him, he took his eye off the ball and someone just took it away from the front of him. Because he was so reliant on contact from behind. He was almost like, go on, touch me. And Mbappe and them, they run into the box at great speed and they're hoping and they went down three or four times. And it kind of feels like when that happened, the referee's impression was, you've done it before in this game. I was right on the others. I'm going to go with that decision. Then the fault probably lies with VAR. So I can understand the referee thinking, this is the fifth, sixth time this has happened in this match. I'm not going to give it because you're kidding, you're trying it on. But VAR probably should have stepped in and said, actually, on this one, there is contact, two contacts with the head and a contact with tangled legs. So, but it's eclipsed the performance of Real Madrid. They're blaming this for not winning this game against Girona, when the blame should be the coach and the players because of their overall performance in this match. It shouldn't be down to, this has cost us the league title. No, it's losing to Mallorca that is going to cost you the league title. It's losing other games. It's drawing against Girona, who didn't have any belief to start the game. They didn't have a centre forward. It didn't work. Real Madrid should have been 2-3 goals up before Girona started making a change and adapting and changing their tactics, because the tactics weren't working until half time. And Real Madrid, they get the lead. Fortunate, it was a mistake, goalkeeper mistake from Gazzaniga. And then Thomas Lemar scores a fantastic goal to equalise. And Real Madrid's only response was to try and get in the box and get penalties. So they were dreadful. Really poor move.
Yeah, so it's a Valverde goal, isn't it? And he strikes it well enough, doesn't it? And it swerves a little bit, but Gazzaniga just doesn't save it properly.
I don't know what he's trying to do. It almost looks like he's thinking, oh no, it's Valverde shooting it. Everyone panic. It's almost like a volleyball pass where he tries to like palm it away with the wrists, not even the hands. And it makes a real mess of it. It was a decent attempt from Valverde by all means, but it was one that should have been saved.
Yeah.
And as I said, they suffered Girona because they didn't play with a striker until Abel Ruiz came on. Then he went off injured, and then Stuani came on. But they were playing Claudio Echeverri as the centre forward or Azzedine Unahi. So it was kind of a false nine setup, which didn't really trouble Real Madrid. But by the end of the game, you're looking and thinking, actually, Girona deserved the draw.
Yeah. So I will explain my comment about grow up and win the league more often. That's my sort of thought about Real Madrid. And I know they've won all the Champions Leagues and they've won it in recent seasons. But I do think if you're the biggest football club in the world, and bear in mind in this period, I know they've been up against Barcelona, but in recent years, they've been up against a financially hamstrung Barcelona.
Exactly.
5 years ago, when the Barcelona thing broke, we were thinking, oh, Real Madrid could win five titles in a row or four out of five or something. They've got financial headway that Barcelona don't have. And I just think this season was a historic opportunity, really, to appoint a coach who would modernise how they play and give them responsibilities that you can't just do. As Gareth Bale was talking about recently, oh, we just play off the cuff and we win and blah, blah, blah. Fine, and it has worked. And so you could say, you could look at that and say, well, he won five Champions Leagues in his career. So there's a case that they have been successful. I think they're successful despite their lack of their lack of defensive structure at times. And that, as you've explained before, that doesn't mean you're asking Vinny Jr. to run 60 yards back and cover a fullback. It means you have a bit of a structure. But Xabi Alonso came in, and again, your view, and I share it, was that he was a bit half-hearted. He didn't quite commit to it. He didn't have the courage of his convictions, so we didn't quite know what he was doing. But sacking him halfway through the season, off the back of the won three games in a row or something, hadn't they? And then they lost the Supercopa final. It just means that if you want to play, as Gareth Bale sort of articulates it, oh, we're just allowed to play off the cuff. You've got to be bloody good to win the league playing that way.
Exactly. And I agree totally with the Xabi Alonso decision.
Yeah.
Arbeloa's now, that was his 20th game, won 13, drawn one. He's now and lost six of the 20 games, which is more than Xabi Alonso lost in 25 games. Xabi Alonso lost five in 25. And so there's no improvement. It's getting worse, if anything. I mean, they did lose to Bayern Munich as well. I'd actually looked at his B team record. I mean, this is a manager. He shouldn't be in this job. I'm sorry. You have to be qualified to be manager of Real Madrid. And he's not. He had 6 months in charge of the B team and he lost eight in 19 of those games. So I'm looking at someone this year. He's lost 14 in 38 games and he's manager of Real Madrid and Real Madrid B. I caught a little bit of Real Madrid B playing on Saturday night on television. They won 5-0 at Racing Ferrol. And I'm thinking, you should be winning games with Real Madrid B team. You've got the best youngsters in Spanish football. And so he's just not qualified to do this job. So at the moment, it looks to me there's no guidance. I look at the team every single game and I'm thinking, you can recognise a back four. But the midfield after that, he was insistent that this midfield he started with is the one that's going to play against Bayern Munich because Tchouaméni suspended. So it was Valverde, Camavinga and Bellingham, which, that's fair enough. So Camavinga was the holding midfield player, but he fails to block Thomas Lemar's attempt for the goal. So he's getting criticism for that's not his position, but he's possibly going to have to play there against Bayern Munich. Which then you look at it and think, well, that's a change because there's three in midfield. So who's going to play right side of attack? Brahim Diaz did in this one. Is he going to play or is it going to be Ardegula? Is it going to be Mastantuono? Someone else? It's a bizarre one. I mean, he gave the night off to Trent Alexander-Arnold. It was three players he gave the night off. They weren't even on the bench.
Mm.
And you're thinking, well, have them on the bench. You know, you I thought they were injured. Carreras, I think, was one of those that wasn't even on the bench. Trent Alexander-Arnold wasn't on the bench. You have them in there as part of the squad, just in case. There's just a lack of guidance of Real Madrid. There really is. In the previous game against Bayern Munich, they played a back four. They played two midfield and two forwards. There was no width. There was no one playing down the right. Valverde, I think, has to play at the right side of a midfield four. And he takes care of Trent Alexander-Arnold defensively. That's what Valverde can do. If there's no one there, then it becomes an issue. There's so many issues with Real Madrid at the moment. I don't think they're going to win the league. It all depends on the game against Bayern Munich. It's a massive task for them to go to Munich and get the win. Then what happens? In the space of 2 weeks, they've gone 9 points behind Barcelona. If they go out the Champions League this week against Bayern Munich, it's going to be interesting to see what happens the remainder of the season. I don't see any way that Arbeloa can be manager next season.
Yeah.
And is he just going to run down the season now in this situation where they're 9 points adrift, another Clásico to come, they're out of all the tournaments? It could be pretty bleak for Real Madrid the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks of the season.
Yeah. And again, there'll be people pointing out, yeah, but it's Real Madrid and they pull off long shots, and they do, you know, and they might well beat Bayern Wednesday, isn't it? I think Wednesday night they might beat Bayern, but yeah, I still think that they've basically met. Well, no, I think the club hierarchy, Florentino Perez and whoever else makes the sporting decisions with them, have messed up another season.
Totally. Yeah. And they had to. There was a rumor this week, Real Madrid were looking at a sporting director.
Right. Yeah.
And Real Madrid put out a statement denying it, an actual official club statement saying they're not looking for a sporting director. Oh, okay. So the current sporting director is Florentino Perez.
Yeah.
Trent Alexander-Arnold, Antonio Rüdiger were left out of the squad completely. Carreras left out of the squad, not even on the bench. They were just rested. I assume they were all injured, but it weren't. It was, they'd just given the evening off Friday night. There you go. Yeah, it'd be bizarre.
Right. Okay.
I want to see this go right down to the wire. I want the Clásico
with
three games of the season left to be decisive. And for Real Madrid to lose at Mallorca, to draw at home against Girona, it's pitiful, to be honest, and really annoying that we're not going to get that climax of the season that I thought we were going to get.
Yeah. Yes. Right, let's move on and talk about Atletico Madrid. So they lost at Sevilla Saturday night. It's a very well-timed game for Sevilla, this. Because when they put the Atletico graphics up, four of the players didn't have a picture.
No, I saw that. One of them didn't even have a name in marker, just a number. Well, come on, you must know better. You must know who this boy is that's playing. I think it was Julio Diaz, which is the number rather than his name. So I think three of the back four, it was Musso in goal, Javier Bonillard, who scores the goal, Marc Pubil, Daniel Martinez, 21-year-old centre-back, and Julio Diaz, 21-year-old left-back. So they were, and there was Ryan Bellade, who was 20, and played right side of midfield. People were calling Atletico Madrid C team rather than the B team. There is an element of that, to be honest. I mean, Soloff was still playing. Baena was still playing. Obed Vargas, who's recently, he's not very old himself. Rodri Mendoza is 20 years old, but he's new. And so it was a welcome, I imagine, for Sevilla in their situation to be able to play an Atletico Madrid that had probably very little interest in this game.
Yeah, there's still only two
games to go.
Yeah.
We normally get these games, it's, you know, at the end of the season, you might be someone like Alaves and you look, oh, good, we've got Barcelona second to last game of the season. In this case, this season, that type of game might be like this. You know, if Barcelona are in the Champions League still, or it's then that might be one of those games where players are rested and young players get their debuts and stuff like that, similar to this Atletico Madrid game. So I would feel aggrieved at this moment in time if I was one of the other clubs down the bottom that this happened.
Yeah.
So it's not even a B team from Atletico Madrid. It's players that never play.
Yeah, because it was more than it was obviously going to be a changed team, but as we've discussed many times before, Atleti have got a good set, they've got good depth, so you could send out a decent team without making all these changes. But fair enough, the season has panned out this way that they're going to be top four, and they've got a massive opportunity to beat Barca. So rest everybody, and Simeone would say, "I don't care what the other teams down the bottom of La Liga think; they should be better and have won more games."
Yeah, and they've got a Copa del Rey final next week as well. So it's a cup season now for Atleti. I get why they've done it. I thought they could have been a touch stronger. Maybe there's one or two injury issues with other players, so then he doesn't want to risk the players that might be a replacement and stuff like that. It'd be interesting to see how much benefit there is to these players only playing cup football. Julian Alvarez is only playing cup matches now. Barely plays in the league. I think there was a stat last week where he hasn't scored for like 3 months in La Liga, but he's barely played. It's been all his goals have been in the Copa del Rey and the Champions League. So it'd be interesting to see, keeping players fresh as opposed to Barcelona, who play Atleti, who can't keep their players fresh because they're trying to win the league. I personally think at this stage of the season, the only benefit is players don't get injured by playing. That's the benefit. I don't think there's a benefit in terms of players are tired because they play Saturday and Tuesday or Saturday and Wednesday. They're used to that. And I think actually at this stage of the season, there's very little training done. The players quite like.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Game, game, game. They want to be in this position. Atleti's players would love to still be in the league title race. So it when you're constantly playing every 3 days, 4 days, you get some rhythm. If you're not, if you're having a week off or 10 days off, we've had the international break, then we've, Atleti don't play their players in this game because they're playing. It's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. The only benefit, I think, is you don't get injuries.
Yeah.
If Julian Alvarez doesn't play at the weekend, he's fit. He doesn't get injured. He plays against Barcelona.
Yeah. There was an odd fuss. Sorry, we won't have too much time talking about the Premier League, but there was a weird fuss about Arsenal playing early on the Saturday. And I don't get it because you've got to play. If you're in the Champions League one midweek and the following midweek, and you've got a league game in the, you've got to play them sometime, haven't you? And so if you're, because they played the Tuesday, didn't they? And then again on the Saturday morning, that seems about the right amount of distance between the games. You can't add, and because Real Madrid asked, they chose to play the Friday night.
And Atleti and Barca played Saturday and played Tuesday this week. I don't see Atleti, well, they don't because they didn't play any of the players, but they could have moaned said, "Oh, we're playing 2 hours after Barcelona. They've got 2 hours more rest." But so these games got to be played, and you need that manager that just brushes it off. You don't need a manager. I guess Arteta's complaining.
I don't know. No, I don't know. Jurgen Klopp's the classic one for this. Want to know fixed your schedule fixed
They
around then.
down to the hour in the minute how much break there is between this game and that game. And trust me, players will embrace the fact that they go in after these games and just do a recovery session and, a team meeting or something and a massage and a cryotherapy chamber, all that nonsense that we didn't have. We used to have to drive in 2 hours to have a bath. I've got a bath upstairs. I can do that at home. You're making me drive in 2 hours across London to go to somewhere to have a hot bath with your teammates. Bizarre. And I look back at that now. Really? Did we do that? Why did, that was our recovery day. A hot bath, not a cold one, a hot bath. So, yeah, the players now. They want to play, 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 play. They want to be involved in all the big games. They want to be involved in the big competitions. If the manager's constantly moaning and comparing your schedule to someone else's, it kind of gives the players a benefit of doubt as well. And you don't want that. So Yeah, it's still exciting stuff to happen.
Yeah. Right, let's do other games as well. So, Royal Sociedad 3, Alaves 3 was a good game. It was a funny old game, wasn't it? Because the first two Alaves goals
are identical.
Yeah, except one of them manages to be an own goal and one of them comes back off the attacker play. So there's like a charity donation of a couple
of goals.
Two
identical crosses, wasn't it?
Yeah.
6-yard box, cut back from the left. Coleta Char, is that right? Coleta Char?
Coleta Char?
He is involved. It's an own goal, clear own goal.
Yeah.
But he kind of tries to step out of the way as Alex Ramiro dives at his feet. And then the other goal from Ibrahim Diabate is exactly the same. And as a ricochet, and it's exactly the same cross and exactly the same dive from Ramiro and at the feet of his teammate and an opponent. And somehow that ends up in the goal. And even the Turrientes strike that goes in, that's given as an own goal against the goalkeeper Antonio Cervera.
Yeah, that was unlucky, though, because that's a lot, because they're good goals, aren't they? The first two rails, because it's a long range shot that hits the post, isn't it? Yeah.
Wonderful goal.
Yeah.
The long range effort from Turrientes, which hits the post and ricochets off the goalkeeper and goes in. Oscarsson gets a goal, there's a red card, there's the Lucas Boye goal at the end. It was a fabulous strike. Alaves, they're flying, but they're still a big drop. But their last couple of games and last two or three performances have been really good, and they just find themselves a point above the relegation zone. But this was a week before the Copa del Rey final, but it was a strong Real Sociedad team, fully committed, pouring down with rain. Bizarre weather this weekend in Madrid. I turned up on Friday. I left London Friday mid-morning. It was a bit chilly. Get to Madrid, it was like 85 degrees, and I've got a jumper and I thought, Jesus, Saturday morning it was cold again. It was and cloudy. And then you see the rain at San Sebastian again, still raining in April. That was a really good game, really enjoyed that.
I tell you, I referenced it at the top again. When you see old pictures of the old Anoeta and the running track and how far away the supporters were from, they've done a good job, a lot of clubs, haven't they?
Mallorca was the same, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Better than Celta.
Yeah.
Had too much gap between the pitch and the stands as well. No, the Liga's doing some really good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They are sorting out the stadiums. It needed it. Let's have a look at the rest of the relegation battle then. So we've got Sevilla there with a win. We've got Alaves getting a point. So Elche beat Valencia by a goal to nil. And Mallorca beat Raya by 3-0. So they're a couple of 6-pointers. And then Oviedo, what a result for them. 3-0 away to Celta Vigo. Celta Vigo are going for Europe, could be Champions League. And so it's not like it's a mid-table team. That they thrashed, and should we do that one first? Because your man Fede Vinyas, who you've been talking about recent weeks, got another couple.
It did, and you get the cross into the box, he'll be there somewhere, and he's a real thorn in the side of any defence. And Oviedo, Guillermo Amado's, they've got belief still. I don't think they can do it. I think they're too far adrift. They're 6 points adrift. Of Alaves, but they're winning game. They're winning games now. Mm-hmm. Away from home, they're winning games at home. They've got a goal scorer. It's not impossible by any means. I wrote them off when they lost against Levante recently. I thought the winner of that had a chance. The loser was down. I've got to change my mind. And we've got a game, Levante-Getafe. If Levante get a win in that, that changes things at the bottom again. There's a 1, 2, 3. I've got 8 teams still involved in relegation. Rayo, Valencia, Mallorca, Sevilla, Alaves, and then the bottom three, Elche, Oviedo, Levante.
So you're not including the teams on 38?
No, I think there's a 3-point gap between Rayo on 35 and then Girona, Athletic, Espanyol.
Yeah.
Espanyol might end up with 38 points, so that might not be enough because they haven't picked up any points and don't win games, but it's highly unlikely they don't get 2 or 3 draws.
Yeah.
But we've got 7 games to go.
Yeah. Let's chat about Rayo, shall we? Because they're 35 points. And you think, oh, well, 13th, they should be fine. We're literally 3 points above the drop zone, aren't they? Right. I'm not a football expert, Terry. I'm not a tactician. However, if I was playing against Mallorca, I'd say Mark Marici.
Yeah, and do you know what? Suddenly, with Di Michelis, they're getting the service to Marici, so he's got 21 goals now. He's
It's
two
amazing,
behind
isn't it?
Kylian Mbappé.
Yeah.
He's got Danny Gaither written over it, written all over it from all those years back
Yeah.
than when he became the Pichichi in La Liga, playing for Mallorca. He's now getting the service he deserves. So how we got all those goals with Arrasate as coach? I've no idea. But every game they play now, he's looking like the Dimitri Celis has come in and said, "Do you know, we've got someone that scores a goal who's good in the air and he's good at attacking crosses. The ball's being crossed a lot more now for Mallorca than it was for the rest of the season." So there's every possibility that he'll get the goals that keep Mallorca up. And there's every possibility he pips Kylian Mbappe for Pichichi, which would be astonishing for a player that's playing for a team in the relegation zone all season. He's, as I say, 21 goals. It's astonishing, but you're right. It's obvious, but it's not about marking Marici. It's about stopping the crosses now to him,
Yeah.
and a different style Mallorca team. And yeah, they're playing well, Mallorca. It's Virgilio's goal was a good goal as well.
Well, he was also unmarked from across, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Rayo have got they've got their strengths, but honestly, the defending on them, because the first one is flicked on, and Marici's made a run to them, but he's literally on. He literally, it's, pundits always, COCOM's always, oh, you're in 10 yards of space. He is in. He's in. He's probably got a good wingspan around him, and no one there that he could stretch out his arms and wave his arms around.
What's a worry though? Rayo still in Europe and suffering in La Liga. Celta losing at home to Oviedo. They got beat by Freiburg in the week. They're talking about a comeback in that, so they're still involved in Europe. And Betis are suffering in La Liga, and they're in Europe. And we're talking about Betis and Celta probably possibly being in the Champions League
Yeah,
next season.
why
Now
is
that
that a worry,
fifth-place
though?
team would be a worry because how would Betis and Celta be able to cope with Champions League football
Yeah,
next season?
I don't think they can. Well, an Atletico
Is there a
couldn't.
fifth-place team in La Liga that could? I don't think there is at the moment.
No. Yeah, it's a
Madrid,
good point of
Real, and Athletic Club.
why you wouldn't have the fifth. I mean, I don't think. I think five is too many, because even if it works. So the Premier League, whoever finishes fifth in the Premier League, Liverpool at the moment, they have a load of money. So you think, well,
Exactly.
they can cope. But I don't care. I still don't want it, because all that shows you is that there's one league with so much money that even their fifth best team has a fortune. Whereas in La Liga, probably the second wealthiest league, the fifth team probably can't cope with it, or they give every impression. Both Athletic and Villarreal give every impression that they couldn't cope. And I agree. If it's Celta or Betis, whatever, fine. I don't think they'll.
Real Sociedad, possibly, but they're not going to go out and spend 150 million. Getafe probably would scare them to death. Half their players are on loan now anyway. The financial implications of that income for Getafe would be great to the club. But I don't think they'd have a squad big enough to play. They'd get relegated, probably.
It would be such a weird thing, wouldn't it? I don't know how you'd spend the money if you were Getafe. You got loans because you've got it all for one season, but then you've blown it all in a season. You
Yeah.
can't even stick it in the bank, because it's your rolling income. So you're not even there's no Champions League parachute payment or anything.
No.
So it's only one it'd be a one-off hit, all this money coming in. And as we discussed previously with Villarreal, they didn't get a lot of the money available to them, because a lot of the money is point related and prize money related, and they didn't get any. So
Yeah.
they blew a load of the Champions League money.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I'm looking out and thinking, well, who would be the best representatives? Listeners can tell us. In the past, it could have been Sevilla. It could have been a Valencia. They could cope with it. They're nowhere near it, and they couldn't cope with
Sort
it.
of, but so one of Sevilla's problems is
Yeah.
that they tried to cope with it, didn't they? They spent like a Champions League team,
Yeah.
but without the guarantee of being in the Champions League.
And Europa League was their competition. That was their
Yeah,
level, and they kept
but
winning.
that's not going to make you rich forever, as now demonstrated. And
Yeah.
if you then start putting older guys on big wages, which they did to win that latest one, that's part of where Sevilla are, isn't it? That's why they're in such a mess.
And then you've got Valencia, who are traditionally probably the the biggest club that could traditionally deal with European football. That's what their minimum requirement was: Champions League, European football. And now you're looking at a Valencia team that, how they didn't win that game against Elche, I have no idea. They missed so many chances. Well,
Lucas Beltran with a miss, wasn't it?
He had a couple of misses.
Yeah.
Hugo Dura had a chance he should have scored. It should have been three or four goals. I mean, Elche could have possibly scored one or two more, but this is a missed opportunity for Valencia.
Yes.
And they're in trouble. There's no doubt about that. Every now and then you think, oh, well, another win, they'll be okay. They don't get that win. And now suddenly you're looking and thinking, 3 points. I'm now going to start looking at run-ins of teams and stuff like that and seeing who's got a tricky run-in. I think Sevilla do. They have a tough run-in. It's going to be tough to pick out. But to Valencia, that was a bad defeat. Rayo Vallecano, European football, had the big win in midweek. Can't cope again at the weekend.
Yeah.
It's a worry. Can't cope at the weekend.
In terms of the weekend's game, I don't mind that. I don't mind football having things that are levelers. So if you qualify for the big competitions, you're getting a load of money or some money. Rio aren't getting rich by playing in the competition.
No.
But it comes at a cost, and I don't mind that.
Yeah.
One of my issues with football is that the big clubs don't want to pay the cost of anything. They want all the money coming in, but they don't want the hardship that goes with playing the games. They're all right. So we'll have to change all the rules in our favour now because we've got to play all these extra games. But you're getting the benefit from playing the extra games.
Yeah.
So suffer the hardship of playing the extra games, but they don't want to. They want the best of all worlds. All the big.
I think Betis. I don't have a hope who finishes fifth. Betis would probably be out this group crop of teams. I think Betis and Real Sociedad would be the two that could cope with it. Real Sociedad recently have been involved in the Champions League and did okay.
Mm.
Betis could. Betis could spend some money.
Betis could grow that club, but they don't seem ever to do so, do they? They always seem to be in the same
something
kind
missing.
Of...
Always.
Yeah. Mm.
But I think Betis...
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
But they're making a mess up. They were unlucky in this game away to Osasuna. Abde scores the goal. He doesn't celebrate. I kind of get it. He had a good year on loan at Osasuna. The crowd took to him. I get why you don't score and then run in and celebrate in front of their supporters. Ghost of a penalty.
Yeah.
They're really a tough one. But Osasuna do. I criticise Real Madrid for getting lots of penalties. I haven't checked the stats. Osasuna like a penalty as well, by the way.
He is laughing as he's sitting on the floor and he's pointing to the spot. So he covers his face.
In the wrong leg.
Yeah, and you can see his eyes. He's obviously laughing as he's covering his face.
And holding the wrong leg.
Yeah.
Which is a giveaway. I mean, Valentin goes as a swipe at it to try and clear it. And Jorge Hernando is the big, big, big old centre-half. Crashing to the ground and VAR obliges with a pen. Bonkers.
That wasn't retro, was it? That was very much 2026, wasn't it? Giving penalties for that.
And Budimir tucks it away. Betis drop points. They're fortunate this week that Celta did as well. They're fortunate Real Sociedad didn't get the win. Hatafe to play, as I say, Hatafe could go 2 points behind Betis if the Hatafe win on Monday night away at Levante, which is possible.
Yeah, just briefly, Athletic Club against Villarreal. The first goal, Terry, I just want to highlight. So it was a brilliant goal, wasn't it? It was, and also, I think they got a little bit lucky because every now and again they go to that big camera. It's on a sort of wire thing, isn't it, above?
Yeah.
So you get this aerial shot and they start the build-up with that and you see them break down the bench. And it's only six touches or something as they go end-to-end and they just work it brilliantly and then score the goal.
And a lovely finish.
Yeah.
To the extent you're going, that can't be Sergio Cardona.
Yeah.
It's a lovely finish. Oh, it's Mika Tauzay, surely, with that quality, with that little dink and the little tap, the touch and the finish. Yeah, and it's anticlimactic now, isn't it, for Athletic Club? I'm not enjoying watching Athletic Club, even in their own stadium. It's
been a tough season, hasn't it?
Yeah. Nico is getting some playing time because he wants to be fit for the World Cup. They've still got the same old issues. And I was hoping that this would be the beginning of a real push towards the end of the season for Estelle Valverde to go out on a high with some style, because going into this game, they weren't a million miles away from, well, yeah, they've still got a chance of European football. But they weren't a million miles away from, you know, really putting a push to get into the Europa League. That defeat at the weekend, I know it's against a decent team in Villarreal, but it didn't look like a team that believe and are going all out to make sure that Ernesto Valverde's last seven games are going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. They were poor. Defensive mistakes. The fight back was too late. People were leaving, weren't they, when there was a goal disallowed for Villarreal.
Mm.
He scores and everyone's like, oh, I'm going out. And as they're walking up the steps, it was disallowed. And then they drift back in again. But they didn't look any, there was any hope in the stadium. And it's a real anticlimax for a manager, third time as manager, that he's announced he's leaving, and it's not having a positive impact on Athletic Club.
Yeah. So like when you say goodbye to everybody and then you realise you've left something behind or something, left your glasses behind or something, you have to go back in and back again. Anyway, that is goodbye from us. So we'll be back with the Patreon, patreon.com/LTEL. You have to pay a couple of quid, a couple of dollars, a couple of euros, whatever you want to join in. And we'll be discussing the quarterfinals, which are the second legs are coming up. And then we'll see everybody. So it's Copa del Rey, isn't it, this weekend, actually? So we'll be discussing the Copa del Rey final. Now, in the UK, ITV4, I believe. Is the
no answer. La Liga games that weekend.
Yeah. And then there's a La Liga midweek round to make up for it after that. So there we are. And round 33 and then round 32. Just evidence that that's a bit of the retro, isn't it? They didn't plan these fixtures far in advance, did you?
Really was confusing regarding my itinerary when I was asked, which I'm going out on Wednesday and Thursday working on week 33 and then on Friday and Saturday and Sunday on week 32. Confusing.
Traditionally, we do week 32 before we do week 33, but no. Right. So, yes. So, we'll be back for Patreons and we'll be back at some point to discuss the Copa del Rey final with everybody. So, we'll see you for that. Thank you for your support and patreon.com/LTEL if you want to become a patron. We'll see you soon.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.